Radio MD. RadioMD.com.
Dr. Michael Fenster is a cardiologist, a gourmet chef, author, TV personality, and host of Code Delicious. Here's Dr. Mike.
Hello, Food Nation, Healthy Nation. Are you ready for the scrumptious and salubrious all wrapped up into one tasty treat? I know that you are. And I know you know that means it's time once again for another Code Delicious. I am Dr. Mike, and today's diagnosis is like butter. Fat is fat, palatable, healthful, and tasty. And you know, speaking of fat, there have been few foods as maligned and misunderstood as butter. Butter has long been an important dietary staple of many societies around the globe, from the 5,000-year-old bog butter of Ireland, all the way to the subcontinent of India, where ghee, a type of clarified butter, remains not only a cooking staple, but also a medicine. Butter has been important nutritionally, culturally, religiously, and perhaps most pertinent in the present, tastefully. Yet, if butter were a person today, there'd be a whole GoFundMe page to stop the bullying and the banter. You see, butter is the ultimate victim of fat shaming. Back in the day, when everything was simpler and more confused, it was conventional wisdom that dietary cholesterol and fat, particularly saturated fat, would increase not only your waistline, but your cholesterol level. And that meant an early death from cardiovascular disease. Such an obvious and straightforward connection opened the door for replacements as butter went the way of lard and tallow, left on the floor of the culinary abattoir. So we invented things to look, cook, and taste like butter, while of course, not actually being butter. So while we couldn't believe it's not butter, we chowed down on artificially created trans fatty acids, or TFAs, that detonated in our arterial walls like time-delayed IEDs. And while now, over 50 years since the government delivered us unto the aisles of low-fat, fat-free, less-fat, and a host of other tasteless substitutions, we begin to turn the massive ship of guidelines and recommendations onto a proper course. But still, generations and multitudes remain lost in a sea of misinformation. As Mark Bittman so aptly opines, the industry's idea of low-fat became the emblematic snack wells and other highly processed low-fat carbs, a substitution that is probably the single most important factor in our overweight obesity problem, as well as reduced fat and even fat-free dairy, which made billions of dollars for the industry. Now, how you could produce fat-free sour cream is something worth contemplating. And let's not think about the literally millions of people who are repelled by fat, not because it doesn't taste good. Any chef, myself included, will tell you that fat is flavor, but because they have been brainwashed. Why would you buy a processed food that tastes worse than what it was designed to replace, doesn't exist in nature, and helps to kill you? Well said, Mr. Bittman. Why indeed? Because of this fat is bad fallacy, butter, which is the dairy product highest in fat, became representative of America's ills. It became the poster and practice of what was wrong with the American diet and what needed to be avoided at all costs. Except once again, it was the conventional wisdom that was wrong. There was a recent meta-analysis just published that sought to examine, and I quote, the evidence for the relationship between butter consumption and long-term health, end quote. Their analysis combined 9 previous trials involving 15 countries and over 600,000 people. Now, of significant interest was the fact that there was not one, done in the past, randomized controlled clinical trial. Despite the excommunication of an entire food source from the gastronomic pantheon, replete with warnings, guidelines, recommendations, and dire prophecy, not once did anyone ever look to compare the outcomes of butter consumption to what was being proffered in its place. What is the relationship between butter with all its evil saturated fat and the risk of developing cardiovascular disease? Nothing. Nada. Zero. As the researchers concluded, and I quote, butter intake was not significantly associated with cardiovascular disease, period, end quote. Hey, same for risk of stroke. Well, what about the risk of developing type 2 diabetes through the consumption of butter? Other recent research has suggested that those with diabetes have a 50% increased risk of dying following an acute myocardial infarction compared with those who've had a heart attack but don't have diabetes. Well, if fat makes you fat, and obesity is a risk factor for developing diabetes, as we've been led to believe, then butter clearly is the dye in diabetes. Except once again, when we look at the data, it's not. Point in fact, the investigators found that, and I quote, butter consumption was associated with lower incidence of type 2 diabetes with 4% lower risk per daily 14-gram serving, end quote. They went on to note that current dietary recommendations on butter and dairy fat are largely based upon predicted effects of specific individual nutrients, for example, the total saturated fat or calcium, rather than actual observed health effects. Our findings add to a growing body of evidence on long-term health effects of specific foods and types of fats. Conventional guidelines on dietary fats have not accounted for their diverse food sources, nor the specific individual fatty acid profiles in such foods. Different foods represent complex matrices of nutrients, processing, and food structure, which together influence net health effects. And this does not even begin to delve into the effects of different foods on our gut microbiome, our symbiotic organ of environmental interface. Because the quality matters, sourcing is important. Milk fat, of which butter is so rich in, contains extremely potent compounds like the anti-inflammatory omega-3. It's also rich in conjugated linoleic acid, or CLA, and a number of other healthful vitamins and minerals. Additional research has correlated dairy fat consumption to diminished weight gain, attenuated markers of metabolic syndrome, including waist circumference, and a reduced risk of cardiovascular disease and colorectal cancer. But reflective of the highly processed nature of the modern Western diet, many dairy products, including industrially produced butter, have an elevated omega-6 to omega-3 ratio. There is increasing evidence that the dietary balance of the omega-3 to omega-6 is at least as important, perhaps more important, than the absolute amounts of saturated, monounsaturated, and total fat that obsess the current public narrative. While the ideal ratio is unknown, experts believe it's somewhere 1 to 1, 2 to 1 range. Current estimates put the U.S. diet at 15 to 17, and some studies over 20 to 1. Even human breast milk has seen a dramatic increase in the omega-6 to 3 ratio as a result of changes in the maternal diet. Milk and thus butter from cows allowed to consume their natural food like grass have higher concentration of omega-3 fatty acids and CLA than that from cows lacking routine access to pasture and fed substantial quantities of grains, especially corn. The balance of fatty acids in foods like butter depends on the animal's diet and its digestive physiology. That digestive physiology, just like ours, is greatly dependent on the integrity of the natural gut microbiome. This can be radically affected by the living and rearing conditions as well as the feed, and feed made with GMO-containing product has been shown to negatively alter the microbiome of livestock. The U.S. National Organic Program stipulates that certified organic farms receive at least 30% of daily dry matter intake from pasture during that portion of the year when pasture grasses and legumes are actively growing, with a minimum of 120 days per year. Pasture and conserved forage-based feeds account for most of the DMI year-round on a growing portion of the organic dairy operations in the United States. So be a chef, not just a consumer. Source the real thing. It makes a difference on this planet, on your person, and perhaps most tellingly, on your palate. And that's a diagnosis.